So this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
Okay, I did it.
All right.
Hit record.
Welcome to Feature Creep, :
Wahoo! Built-in microwave, :
What cult is best? I don't know.
What cult is the best cult? How to make a cult? Cults are us. Culterific.
Culterific. Yeah. So we're going to start with maybe a series of designing cults. I don't know. We had this idea, so we're going to do it.
You know, everybody loves a cult story.
Everybody does. So I'm Ned and this is Meg.
Yo.
And this is our podcast. And you should email Dana, the CEO and founder of this podcast, if you have any concerns, thoughts, complaints, the occasional shout out for agreement or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, email Dana, Dana at fcbm.io. She loves to hear from our guests, as do we. And if you email Dana, then she'll get your message to either Meg or Ned. And we'll look at it, and then we'll have heard from you.
Yeah, we will. It will be the case that we have heard from you.
Yes. Yeah. You could email us right now while you're listening by pulling up your phone and sending us an email.
Do it right now.
I worry about the email promotion thing because that is traditionally a trap for collecting people's personal information, right?
Oh yeah.
But I don't know how else to communicate with our listeners that doesn't involve social media.
Yeah.
I guess we could set up like a Blue Sky account or something. If
social media is such garbage.
Yeah, it's not great. No. We technically have some social media accounts, but we do not use them, nor are they active. So if you do find us on there, and you are like, why aren't they listening to, you know, why aren't they responding? Send us an email. That's the deal.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Yeah.
We should just post a single image on the social media accounts we have that says, send us an email.
Yes. Yeah.
If you can read this, send an email.
I mean, I don't know that we actually have like, I feel like we still have, according to the little stats that I still have access to, we have around 200 or 300 downloads a month. So
that's fucking crazy. Who are
people? I mean, it could be that a lot of these people don't actually listen to the podcast. They're just like queuing it up and it's getting downloaded into their browser or something. I don't know. Into their
it's
client.
It's bots.
It could be. Who knows? Anyway,
I don't know why that would be.
Send us an email just for a shout out or some encouragement that you do listen and you're like, fuck yeah, you guys should keep going. Or you guys are the worst. Get off the internet. Also fine.
Get out of here.
Let's do cults. Let's talk about cults.
Okay. So we found some information on a lady named Janja Lalich.
Yes.
Or Lalich.
Lalich. Janja Lalich.
Born 1945. Sociologist, writer, expert on cults and coercion.
Yep.
Charismatic authority, I'm quoting Wikipedia here, power relations, ideology, and social control, professor emerita of sociology at California State University, Chico.
Woo!
And apparently she was in a cult and was like, what's up with all this shit? And then went and got a PhD.
Smart.
Yeah, that's cool. I think that's cool. She was like a professor and wrote articles for journals and, you know, as professors do.
Mm-hmm.
There's apparently an International Cultic Studies Association, which, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that, but I'm gonna click it.
Do it. Click it.
It's based in Savannah, Georgia, United States. So it's what Wikipedia has to say about it is that the International Cultic Studies Association is a nonprofit educational and anti-cult organization publishing the International Journal of Coercion, Abuse, and Manipulation, ICSA Today, and other materials. that's fucking nuts that they have their own journal. Journal of Coercion, Abuse, and Manipulation. That's fucking rad.
It is pretty
I want to subscribe to that.
Well, before we get into that, let's just do a quick rundown of what are some core characteristics of a cult.
Yes, tell me, how do I know if I'm in a cult? What are the hallmarks?
So
and the red flags.
Yeah, so there's... we can start with the simple. The term cult originates from the Latin cultus, meaning worship. So, you know, over time, it's obviously evolved into its more modern context. From a sociological perspective, socialists view cults as new religious movements characterized by novel beliefs and practices, often centered around a charismatic leader. So this is my experience of cults as well.
Yeah.
They are... I think they attract people who are, some people who are attracted to them seem to be looking for, like, they reject the modern offerings of religion, but they also reject kind of the idea that there's not something mystical about the existence, right? And so they are looking for something that sort of validates their internal compass around this idea, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
And so then the way they get sucked up into these cults is through these like core cult characteristics. So I created this summary really quick using ChatGPT, and I'm going to go through it and see what it says.
There's so many. There's like, there's got to be some kind of like a cult around that at some point, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, we can start the cult of AI.
The Oracle.
Sure. The Oracle, yes. So the core characteristics of cults, and this is summarized a lot and taken from this article. Plagiarized. Yeah. I mean, I basically asked ChatGPT to link the references, and so it heavily referenced this article from Jana Lalich on janalalich.com as retrieved from April, well, was retrieved April 23rd, 2025. The article itself.
Oh, recent.
Well, that's today. I just retrieved it. I'm looking to see.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. It's all good. I'm looking to see if there's a publication date. There is not. So.
Oh.
But this is her own website, so I'm guessing this is kind of, they have a lot of resources there. But anyway, so the summary, like, there's some key components, right? So one of the key components is a charismatic leadership. Cults are typically led by individuals who exude charm and authority, often positioning themselves as messianic or uniquely enlightened figures.
The uniquely enlightened is like the big thing that jumps out at me.
Yeah. So messianic, I think, is Messiah-like, relating to the Messiah. Yeah. So the idea being that they are ordained by some, you know, some mechanism of spirituality,
they
right?
They have like, the secret, Ned.
Yes. Yeah. So then on top of their charismatic leadership, you have this absolute authority and unquestioning commitment. So leaders often demand complete obedience, discouraging or punishing dissent and critical inquiry.
See, this is why I can't get along with that, because like I'm way more interested in the questions than I am in the answers.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we get to isolation from society. And this can be both physical and psychological or just psychological, but typically there are mechanisms in place to isolate members from the broader community, fostering an us versus them mentality. Like that's a big core component of it, right? It's like once you're in the cult, everyone else is outside of the cult against you, kind of.
It's an inward facing circle.
Yeah. And I feel like this is... this is very much like the way people poison each other against other people. Like you create this, you know, like there's this dynamic in my family where my stepmom created this dynamic with my dad, where she had early on established that I was I was looking to destroy their relationship. And so anything, mm-hmm. any criticism I might have of her just landed on my dad as if I was saying, like, you know, trying to take apart their relationship. And so he's already predisposed to, like, guard against these ideas.
Now, did they have this sentiment before or after they found your massive book with a gigantic and highly detailed plan to break up their relationship?
It was, you know, it's funny you mention that because... I didn't put those two together, but now I'm kind of wondering if maybe that's how that happened.
How did I overlook that?
Right. God.
Is that where they got that idea?
Yes.
That book doesn't exist. I would write it and then I would drop it into their lives and make them think that it wasn't me who wrote it. And then I would turn them against you, which would turn them towards you since they're already against you from before.
Secretly, this was your long-term game plan from the very beginning. Like when I was a child, you had come to California and snuck that book into my room for them to find later lay the framework for our trauma-induced friendship.
Yes. I've been in control of this whole situation this entire time. Yes. I'm the charismatic leader.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm the one who... orchestrated this entire thing.
The cult of Meg.
Yeah, all the way up to this conversation that we're having right now in real time right now.
Right now in real time.
This is exactly how I wanted this to turn out.
You're inducting me into the inner sanctum, so now I know all the secrets.
Yes, in fact, the secret name of my secret cult is the Inner Sanctum.
Fantastic.
Which I incepted into you as a concept like years ago. oh my god.
Man. Yeah.
So, okay, tell me more about the basics of cults.
Yeah. So we got your charismatic leadership, you've got your absolute authority and unquestioning commitment. You've got isolation from society, whether that's physical, psychological, or oftentimes both. There's manipulative techniques are present. So, use of mind-altering practices like chanting, sleep deprivation, possibly drugs. You know, there's lots of ways that you can kind of, you know, use these tools to kind of manipulate and reinforce mm-hmm. this groupthink and suppress doubt, right? Yep. And then finally, there's this idea of exploitation, where cults often exploit members financially, emotionally, or sexually under the guise of spiritual or communal advancement.
Right. This is like one of the things. So, you know, like HBO and all these other streaming networks have like whole genres, and some of them just have a whole section dedicated to cult stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny because if you go to some of them and you look, what they mean by that is cult films.
Yes.
Films that for some reason became really popular among a subset of a population.
Right.
Which is different from
100%.
Thematic tie-in of cults in a genre. Like, it may not be about cults, so be forewarned. This has gotten me before. I was like, they've got a whole section in this on cults. These are just cult films.
Right. Yeah.
But one thing that I've noticed about like the religious cults especially is like there's always some guy who's like, I can tell you all of these mystical secrets that I have, but I can only tell you with my penis. Yes, and then he has to sleep with all these people. And they're like, I thought, you know, because his was the hand of God, that God was touching me. And it turns out I just got pregnant or whatever, you know. Now I'm on my 11th child and I'm not allowed to leave the compound. And they're bringing in the tear gas. Like, that's what Waco was all about, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which was one of the craziest cults and one of the craziest outcomes of a cult that I've ever seen.
I mean, I feel like Heaven's Gate was pretty fucked up as well.
Well, so here's something interesting about Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch, like, these other cults, like, especially bad, are business cults, right? Like Nexium.
Oh, yes.
That story's fucking batshit, because why anybody listened to a man with a center part hairdo in his 40s is beyond me. Like, why are you doing your hair that way? Your hair is suspicious. This is the thing. The weird hair is a dead giveaway for me. That's what sent up my red flags about Elizabeth Holmes, too, and Sam Bankman-Fried. It's the fucking hairdos, right? It's the crazy hair. Yes. So, like, the guy from Nexium, what's his name? Keith Raniere,
yeah.
Parted his hair down the middle, had like a middle school boy's haircut.
Yes.
And I was like, why does anyone listen to this man? Like, just visibly, he is discredited in my mind. I don't know. The hair, I can't stop looking at that center part. And he wore like weird little glasses. Anyway, he had all these affectations, business cults, religious cults, whatever. They're all like these weird men and like, I don't know, the hair really sticks out to me. So, the Heaven's Gate thing was also like, the Heaven's Gate thing seemed less to me like a traditional cult because like, The guy at Mark Applewhite, what was his name? I think his last name was Applewhite.
Marshall Applewhite.
He had the crazy eyes, right? Where like his eyes are open so wide all of the time that you see the white sclera all the way around the colored part of the iris.
Oh yeah, and he always had those like shockingly like, surprised look.
Very wide open eyes with the eyelids peeled back from them. And his appearance was a little kooky, but he didn't ever seem malevolent, which is crazy because it was a suicide cult, right? And now they're all dead.
Sure. Yep.
Which I guess it raises the question, if you are running a suicide cult, does that automatically make you malevolent? I don't know. He seemed genuinely confused about like that comet or whatever and the alien ship right behind it. And we're all going to go into the ship, but we got to like meet them out there. And to get there, we got to like put on the outfits and the tennis shoes and drink the poison or whatever. Everybody who died in that suicide cult wanted to be there.
Yeah. But that doesn't make it not a cult.
No, it doesn't make it not a cult. I'm just saying that for a charismatic leader, if he checks that box, if Marshall Applewhite checked the box for charismatic leader, he was one of the most benign charismatic leaders I've ever seen in charge of a cult.
Right.
Because
he
wasn't like trying to get anything out of the people who were following him. They all kind of followed this other idea.
Yeah.
That wasn't like, it wasn't like Marshall Applewhite ever claimed to be the embodiment of something. And in order to access it, you have to go through me. Right. Like, which is Keith Raniere's whole thing. And like all these other cult leaders who like heavily control people and are charismatic, authoritarian, claim to be uniquely enlightened, aggregate and wield absolute authority, have like demand unquestioned, unwavering commitments. Like all of that fits with the other ones, but I was really surprised when I watched documentaries about the Heaven's Gate people. I was like, they all just seem to be confused in exactly the same way about what's real here. And like, it was very non-coercive. And they even had interviews with some of the deceased cult members, family members, who were like, this is the happiest this person ever was in their life. Like, we don't like, what do you do? Like, it, right. I don't know. And I don't know, ethically speaking, it, to me, if somebody doesn't want to be alive anymore for whatever reason, like that should be their right to just opt out. Like,
yeah, agreed. And I think,
I don't know.
Yeah. I think the weird thing about Heaven's Gate though, is that they didn't believe that they were committing suicide.
Right. They thought that this was like the necessary next step for them to go get to the thing.
And they were actually very against suicide, like in their belief system. According to the Wikipedia article, they were, the group had declared they were against suicide. They weren't committing suicide. What they were doing, they believed that human bodies were a vehicle that were meant to help them on their journey. And so thereby terminating their bodies close to the ship allowed for them to be picked up by the Hale-Bopp comet.
Okay, so it was Hale-Bopp comet, and they believed that behind the tail of the comet, right,
was
like a UFO or like an alien spaceship, and in order to like rendezvous with that spaceship and get picked up by it, they had to like leave the planet, which translates to like we all drink poison at the same time. Did they drink poison? What did they? How did they do it?
They
does it say?
I mean, this was here in San Diego, so I feel like I should know this. I remember when it happened. It was kind of a big deal. So let me see. Here we go. I'm going to read this paragraph. This will give us a lot of insight. So this is from the Heaven's Gate Religious Group Wikipedia article as of April 23rd, 2025. Scholars have described the theology of Heaven's Gate as a mixture of Christian millenarianism, new age, and ufology.
Yeah. Okay. So like end of the world at the change of the millennium people.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And it has been characterized as a UFO religion. The central belief of the group was that followers could transform themselves into immortal extraterrestrial beings by rejecting their human nature. And they would ascend to heaven, referred to as the next level or the evolutionary level above human. The death of Nettles from cancer in 1985 challenged the group's views on ascension. While they originally believed they would ascend to heaven while alive aboard a UFO, they came to believe that the body was merely a container or vehicle for the soul, and that their consciousness would be transferred to a next level body upon death. I'm trying to find the... In January of 1994, LA Weekly ran an article on the group then known as the Total Overcomers. Richard Ford, who would play a key role in the 1997 group suicide, discovered Heaven's Gate through the article and eventually joined them, renaming himself to Rio D'Angelo.
Rio D'Angelo. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
This is from the same Wikipedia article. The Coast to Coast AM host Art Bell discussed the theory of the companion object in the shadow of Hale Bopp on several programs as early as November 1996. Speculation has been raised as to whether Bell's programs contributed to Heaven Gate's group suicide. Knowledge Fight host Dan Friesen blames more on Courtney Brown rather than Bell.
Art Bell talked to all kinds of people. I don't think you can pin a group suicide on Art Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
He wasn't like immediately involved in these people's ongoing situation.
Yeah.
Was he? That would be news to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think...
Why do people think that he contributed to their mass suicide?
I think he's just... I think the argument is just that they had presented these ideas of, like, there being something behind the comet, like this companion object.
So it's so interesting, like, all of these people who join these cults are like trying to escape some sort of situation. You know what I mean?
I do. I also think that terminology is kind of, the idea of saying like the programs contributed versus saying like the programs provided information that the cult used. That's very different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like saying they contributed is like me being like, you know, we run a podcast where it's like, you should kill yourself. I don't think that was the program. The program might have speculated about the nature of the companion object, which may have contributed in terms of like feeding whatever delusion they had. I guess I can't confirm whether it was delusional or not, but let's be realistic here. It's probably not true that there was a UFO behind the Hale Bopp that they beamed up to somehow.
And the only way to get to it was to,
you know, I mean, at this point, I hope for their sake they got to do that, but I'm not holding out hope for that situation. The mass suicide. Like
Go ahead. I was going to say, I don't think there was a whole lot of money involved in this one either.
No. So, I mean, that's where this one's kind of unique in terms of like their leader was much more of a facilitator for like a self-created group think, right? Like they all kind of got together, and the more they like, it seems like this leader wasn't like, I need to find people who are easily manipulated and like get sucked into this. I think they
Who I can lord over.
Yeah, no, like none of his reasoning for the culting seemed to be particularly manipulative of, or classically manipulative in terms of like money or power or like sexual, you know, it seemed more like
at the top, you know, of a pyramid of some kind.
Yeah, it wasn't some kind of pyramid scheme. It seems much more like, you know, they kind of got sucked into an idea of what what they all kind of like a shared hope, right?
A shared delusion.
Yeah, a shared delusion, kind of. They all kind of fed into it, and
yeah.
So, yeah, Marshall Applewhite, and then his wife Bonnie, who died in 1985, is kind of why they were like, which, to be honest, is probably what contributed more to their mass suicide, because then people are like, well, wait, if she's dead, then the body can't, we have to fit our beliefs around this, where the body is not as important as we were thinking before, you know?
Right.
And so that's, it seems like that's kind of what they kind of worked themselves up to. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, this whole thing right here reminds me of like that, you know, we were talking about, you were asking me where I had come up with that idea of like walking knowledge pathways.
Yes.
And this is kind of that thing, right? It's like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And one can imagine that it's like, if you were raised, you know, looking at this Heaven's Gate, article, like if you were raised as, where did it go? I just had it. If you were raised as like Christian or some, you know, like if you have all these like beliefs that you're struggling with, and then it's like your worldview is already really aligned in a very particular way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to seem like, this is where I think that idea of like Occam's razor is a little bit nebulous, right? Because it presupposes, so Occam's razor being the concept of like, if you hear hoofbeats, you might think horses rather than zebras. Like you try to kind of attribute the unknown.
Straightforward and simple explanation is probably the most likely.
Right. Exactly.
The more complicated and weird it gets, the less likely it is that that's the explanation.
Yeah. And so the idea being, this is something you keep in your mental toolbox to kind of evaluate new pieces of information, to kind of like keep yourself kind of grounded in what is really happening.
Right.
But this is where I'm like, right, but that presupposes that you know what the fuck a horse is. And even if you've only ever seen a zebra once in your life on TV, but you've never seen a horse, you might assume it's zebras when you hear hoofbeats.
Yeah.
Even though you live in a part of the world where there are no zebras, like, you know, because you don't know. And so that's where I think you end up, you know, there's an aspect of like going into a cult where, or this group think, right? Where they were like, you know, really kind of reworking their belief system, and they had these like shared kind of commonality, right? You know, the Christian millenarianism and the New Age and the ufology, like this idea of like, these ideas seem crazy to you and I, but I imagine they're much closer leaps in logic for someone who's already like struggling with the idea that it's like, I grew up and I only believed in, you know, the very strict sort of Christian ideology of God and the way, you know, and the mythology of all of that. And then kind of, you know, and someone comes along and they're like, hey, you know, I see you questioning your beliefs. Have you considered that, you know, if there were aliens, it might explain a lot of this stuff. And also it might mean this other cool thing that we could access right away. And then, you know, you're off to the races. You're like, fuck yeah, let's go fucking get on a spaceship and get the fuck out of this fucked up world.
Yeah. And there's like, there's all these things that we think of as like taken for granted, you know, like gravity and a bunch of other stuff about the natural world in which we are co-positioned. Right. But all of that shit's pretty fucking crazy too. Like gravity's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What? It's like, it's just a force like constantly sucking you downward so you don't float off into space.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
no, it's
sure. But also, how is that any less crazy than that not being the case?
Right.
I don't know. So I think like what comes off as crazy or not has a lot to do with your frame of reference.
Yes. Yeah.
Just absolutely. Like you say with the zebra thing, right? Yeah. Like if the only time you've ever seen a galloping animal is if it was a zebra and you hear a recording of hoof beats, you're gonna be like, zebra.
Yep.
I know what that is. Right. Saw that one time. Right? Or giraffe. I think giraffes clomp around kind of like zebras when they run.
Oh yeah. Yeah, horses. Absolutely. Yeah.
Most
four-legged hoofed creatures kind of have similar gaits to each other.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess Marshall, I was thinking, wow, suicide cults are not that common, right? There's a lot of cults. Like the business cults are a dime a dozen. Anybody who talks about themselves as being an entrepreneur is suspect. You're probably in a business cult.
Super sus.
It's like red flag language, you know, like an MLM or like Nexium was a self-improvement, all these self-improvement cults, right? It's all of these people who think that like something better is just out there. And if I do this thing right here, it's going to get me through what I'm going through and out the other side into this better thing.
Yep.
So like the Marshall Applewhite, Hale Bopp, Comet, suicide, it's just another version of that. I don't know. Like for me, it's not the most extreme cult, even though everybody ended up dead, because the lack of coercion just made it seem like just really misguided and not like malicious or malevolent. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like Keith Raniere in the Nexium cult was like all about how do I have sex with more women who I then make hate each other and compete for my attention. God, oh, and also I'm going to use like a fucking wood burning etcher tool to like burn my initials into people's crotches.
God, the amount of like effort involved to do that just seems like, I'm like, how is this?
I know they're like on some level, all of these cults are like sex cults, except for the Hale Bopp Comet people, the Heaven's Gate people. They were like, didn't some of them get castrated?
Oh gosh. I mean, I don't know that I know.
I feel like that was a part of the story. Like they.
Yes. So according to Wikipedia article, okay, let's see. So the group was only open to adults over the age of 18. Members gave up their possessions and lived in ascetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, ascetic life devoid of indulgences. The group was tightly knit and everything was communally shared. In public, each member of the group always carried a $5 bill and a roll of quarters. 8 men in the group, including Applewhite, voluntarily underwent castration as an extreme means of maintaining the ascetic lifestyle. The group initially attempted castration by having one of its members, a former nurse, perform the castration, but this almost resulted in the patient's death and caused at least one member to leave Heaven's Gate. Every castration that followed was done in a hospital.
Okay. So that's interesting to me. What lengths do you have to go to convince the medical establishment that they should give you a procedure like that?
I don't know.
You know, like the people who are like, if you don't help me cut my arm off, I'm going to do it myself. And they're like, okay. Please don't cut your arm off and bleed to death.
So elective
cut your arm off.
Elective castration surgery.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that's in your search history and not mine. I've already got enough weird shit in mine.
So normally it's done to prevent testicular cancer, right? Or to or also to treat male breast cancer and prostate cancer. So, all right. So
those hormonal cancers are a bitch.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how they, I don't know the details. So,
that cult like totally diverged from the usual culty stuff.
Yeah.
Like the charismatic leader was more of a facilitator rather than someone who was trying to amass power. They, rather than trying to screw everybody, which is usually the whole thing behind cults, it's like the highly efficient money funnel thing that you told me about that I tell everybody about now. It's a highly efficient money funnel, but it's in the shape of a car dealership, or it's a highly efficient money funnel in the shape of something else, right? Like most of these cults are like, it's a sex cult in the shape of business lessons, you know, or like it's a,
right.
They're all sex cults. Like, just like in Orange County. Well, ostensibly it's about vampires, yes, but really it's about the reunification of Germany.
Yes,
you know, but funny.
Yep.
Right. So, like, ostensibly these cults are about business acumen or self improvement or worshiping secret Jesus teachings or whatever, but really it's just about the guy in the center getting to have sex with everybody he doesn't deserve to have sex with, right? Mm-hmm. People who would otherwise be like, no, get away from me, you gross dick. And he's like, but have I told you about the secrets that you can see
right
after you touch my penis, which is the only way to learn about them? Why don't you give it a try? I think you'll like it. God. So like the thing that I love so much about the Heaven's Gate cult is that it's like the opposite of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the lovable cult.
The lovable cult.
The lovable sort of like kind of naive and harmless. If mass suicide is harmless, I don't know. It just seems like it's such a different, like they forked off of the cult tree. Like everybody else kept going and they like pew off to one side. They were really unique. You know, and then there's like other mass suicides, right? Like Jonestown being the super famous one. That shit was fucking crazy. Like that shit was so involved and so nutso. That went to like the seventh level of hell in terms of like the elevator downward in cults. Like they had all these women involved who were like nurses, and like Jim Jones gave them all this power that they never would have had in normal society, and they just didn't act or think critically about it, or maybe they did and they didn't care, but he had this like group of women, this like very close to him, that were like giving him all of his drugs and like dosing him and injecting him and all this stuff. And then like there was all this shit about the revolutionary suicide, and he was super paranoid about people coming to like force them into, you know, not being in a cult anymore or whatever, submission. And he was just like not having it. And they did like practice runs for people to commit what he called revolutionary suicide, which is like, what? And so people did like dry runs of like taking the Kool-Aid, or which was actually Flavor Aid.
Yes.
And like they like, when they actually did do the mass suicide, they like had like they had like people with guns there too. Like if you weren't going to drink the freaking Flavor Aid, they were just going to shoot you.
Right, it's so fucked up.
So it's like hyper coercive compared to like the Heaven's Gate people, right? Like,
yeah.
It's so interesting to me. Like it almost doesn't feel like it should be called a cult. I don't know.
Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like, you know,
it has none of the power grabby aspects of a normal cult.
Sure, I understand that, but it's like, it's a good example of, you know, like a self-electing cult, sort of. Like,
yeah.
You know, you don't have to have like, you know, it had a leader. I mean, he definitely, you know, Marshall Applewhite, like proselytized and drew people in, right? Like he led the cult. You know,
it's a weird one.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he wasn't like exploiting them for sex, drugs, or, you know, or like money and power is, I think makes it odd, but I don't think it makes it less of a cult. Like they're like, you know, they had a real particular ideology that they, you know, enforced on their members. They created, you know, they all lived that aesthetic life, or aesthetic lifestyle. You know, they had castrations. Like there was a lot to control the people. The fact that he wasn't like, you know, that didn't more obviously benefit an individual, I get why that throws you off, right? Like, it's still them doing it for the idea rather than like it being obviously like, oh, here's another man getting a bunch of women to touch his penis. Like,
that's fair.
You know, I get what you're saying. It's not a sex cult. I mean, in a way it was, though. It looked, you know, the fact that there were all these like castrations.
It was a sex cult.
Right. But it's a kind of like control over sex, right? I mean, I would argue sex cults are all that way, right? It's all about controlling the sex of someone. You know, whether they're having it or not is immaterial. Like, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So the thing about cults is that there is oftentimes a lot of people arguing about what makes a cult versus a religion.
Ooh.
Which I find kind of hilarious to me. Because
Clark Kent Superman.
Yeah, like from my point of view as someone who has been an atheist his whole life, like or lives without theism, right? Like, you know, I don't need a label so much as just like someone who's not been in a religion nor ascribes to or believes in religions. I struggle to see a strong difference. To me, it's just a matter of scale.
So to your point, I was raised in Catholic religion.
Yeah.
From the time that I was born and baptized all the way up till I was 18 and was confirmed. And in order to be confirmed Catholic, you have to have this discussion with the priest and tell him why you want to be part of the community and all this stuff. Because you're supposed to be, like, when you turn 18, you're supposed to, like, take the sacrament of confirmation as your own autonomous assertion that you want to be a member of this group, right? And I did not. And I was like out the door when I was a little kid. I was like, this shit's crazy. It's like the fact that you people don't see it as deeply creepy that we're all in a room together and everybody's saying the same thing at the same time for an hour long. Like, there's some really weird shit about this that's deeply unappealing to children. And a lot of work involved and like all this stuff. And I was like, I don't want to be in this at all. And my mom insisted and she forced me to be an active participant in that fucking church. Now, side note, we belong to the Archdiocese in St. Paul that was bankrupted by the number of lawsuits that were successful.
Right.
And were litigated because the Catholic Church abused children where I live to such a degree that they couldn't keep up with all of the money they had to pay out in damages. And it wasn't just that they were like super efficient at abusing children. They had a whole criminal network where if priests from way far away couldn't fucking get their shit together and not touch kids and like fuck children, those priests had a safe haven in my archdiocese. Mm-hmm. So they would cull them from all over the Catholic religious empire and bring them to St. Paul, where they would basically like place them in safe churches and parishes and whatnot, where like their terrible behavior would be protected essentially and allowed to flourish. So my instincts about this shit were 100% correct.
Right.
Just want to like throw that out there. I smelled it a mile away as a little kid. I was like, I want out of this. And nobody ever did anything untoward to me personally or to my brother that I know of. My brother was allowed to quit before he was even a teenager. My mom was like, no, you got to keep going because we're secretly sexist people and we will never recognize that. And so I had to go all the way till I was 18. And I had to lie to a priest about why I wanted to be Catholic in order to convince him to like confirm me Catholic at the fucking cathedral or whatever.
What your like why you felt compelled to lie versus, I mean, I can imagine lots of reasons.
Because
what's
worse than lying to a priest is my mom fucking riding my ass forever.
Sure. Yeah.
And like just making my life generally unlivable.
Yeah.
In like a really abusive and terrible way if I didn't just do what she said.
I mean, this was like 100% of the reasons I lied as a child, right? It was like, I'm lying because you've proven to me authoritative figure.
You make it
figure.
Impossible for me to survive without lying to you.
Yeah, you've demanded that I lie to you.
Yep.
The alternative is that I don't exist. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I told her, like, you are expecting me. I don't want to be Catholic. This is all your idea. You forcing me to continue to do this year after year is a form of child abuse.
Right. Yes.
And so like that's to say nothing of the fact that she put me willingly in close proximity to child molesters on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Even if that hadn't been the case, even if we didn't belong to that fucking archdiocese, the fact that she compelled me to do something that I deeply did not want to do and have been steadfast on that assertion.
Yeah.
I have never for a minute been like, you know, maybe I can get along with this religion thing. Right. No, I've been adamant since like at least 8 years old. All of this is bullshit. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And on top of that, it's really creepy. And you forcing me to continue to be involved as child abuse. That was my message the whole time.
So
right?
Creepy. Yeah.
So I was like, if you expect me to do a convincing job of speaking to this priest to the degree that he will agree to give me the sacrament of confirmation, what you're asking me to do is lie to a priest, and in our religion that you're forcing me to get confirmed in, that is a mortal sin that requires that I go to hell for it. So it's more important for you to have a kid who gets confirmed, and it's less important that the very act of seeking that confirmation is in itself a punishable sin that is punished by eternity in hell.
Right.
So like, if you really believed this, then by your own logic, you're requiring of me that I do something that secures my eternal damnation just to please you.
Yes.
For no discernible purpose.
Right.
Whatsoever. And a purpose that you have conveniently excused my younger brother from ever having to deal with at all.
God.
Yeah, it's just inexcusable. It's fucking inexcusable, right? The fact that it's about a bunch of made-up shit doesn't make it any better.
No, it's so dumb.
Like, there's no real fucking consequences here, right?
Right.
Like, but nonetheless, I was, like, heavily, heavily coerced. I mean, threatened with punishment, extorted, essentially. Do it or else.
Yep.
Right? So, like, you not being involved in religion and seeing from the outside no serious differentiating characteristics between religions and cults and religions, as someone who was forced to be heavily participatory in a major religion that is also very culty and also seeks to heavily control people and has done massive amounts of organized crime involving the exploitation of young, vulnerable people that exploits a power dynamic to a dangerous degree. Like, I don't see any fucking difference either.
Yeah,
I really don't.
So
I think that what counts as a religion versus a cult is that religions are just the ones that make it popular and stick around for a while.
Yeah.
And don't manage to kill everybody off in the process.
So I did a quick search for a summary of arguments of why religions are not cults.
Okay.
And the strongest one, strongest is a strong word for this, but the one that stands out to me that has some legitimacy, I guess, is the idea of social legitimacy and integration. The idea being that religions are just basically socially accepted.
Okay. That fits.
They're socially accepted and integrated into more broader community societies, right? You know, which from my mind is, it's just like, you mean, so cults, it's just the cults that made it. Like, it's the cults that people were most on board with. Like, most people are like, yeah, I'm okay with this kind of worship, right?
Yeah, like, cults are not, like, cults don't seem to have a protected status, whereas religions do.
Right. And that to me is just a classic kind of interaction of larger organized groups.
Yeah.
You have enough power and money, and you start to influence governments in order to protect your status.
Yep.
Like, you know, that's, you know, I mean, in the US we kind of have that, you know, as the mythology goes, it was like we were founded by a lot of people who were ostracized for their religion, right? Like that, that seems to be something that people like to trot out when the Constitution was written, this idea of like freedom of religion, right? Or freedom, you know, I like to think freedom from religion, but you know, this idea that you are not going to be persecuted for your religion. So the religions gain this sort of like protection, this protected status of being like, you don't get to be picked on just because of your religion, or you don't get to be othered just because of your religion. And I, you know, that's a certainly a fine ideal. And I think as we, you know, there's some push that we try to move towards, you know, not othering people at all for any reason, You know, we seem to have taken a real big step backwards lately, but at least in this country. But you know, we'll see how that goes. Anyway, yeah. So the social legitimacy seems to be the argument that resonates the most with me in terms of like, I don't think it's, you know, from my point of view, it's like, okay, fine. Like semantics. It's like when we call something a religion, it doesn't change my opinion of it. I still think the same way about it as I do a cult.
Like, yeah.
You're in a weird belief system that is like skewing your sense of reality. Got it.
Yeah.
Now what?
Check.
You know, right. I mean, we all are to be clear. But you're not open to finding out what reality is. You have a path that you've decided is what reality
is. So here's some advice. If you think you might be dealing with a cult at some point, just bring your own beer.
Just bring your own beer. Yes.
Exactly. BYOB.
Yeah.
Beverage, B-Y-O-B. Whatever.
Yep. Right.
Beer beverage. Yep. Fill in the B word, bitch. Right. I don't know. Bring your own. Don't take anything off the buffet table.
Right.
What I really like about cults, maybe there's something in what you're reading about like the characteristics of like, does it say anything about the establishment of hierarchies and privileges within the cult?
Let's see. So let me look at the ChatGPT output again. Let's see. So, In a summary of like the difference between religion and cults, it's often posited that religions possess a more structured hierarchy and codified teachings that allow for distributed leadership and accountability. Which, as you pointed out, is mostly garbage. You know, I think one could argue at this point that, you know, the Catholic Church for sure is, you know, maintaining a certain level of sex cult situation.
100%. And like, and the Pope just died. So this is well-timed.
Yeah, right. Yes,
God. I didn't even think about that till right now.
Right.
Yeah. He just died like 3 days ago or something like that.
So does the Pope
right
automatically.
After he met with J.D. Vance and was like, you're a dipshit. Yes, and then he died.
I love the take on this, which is that like I'm glad he lived long enough to call J.D. Vance a dipshit. Right. Fantastic. Like
you got a Jesuit pinnacle to say something negative about you, dude. Well done.
Right. So does the Pope does the Pope automatically go to heaven then?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know enough about the Catholic Church to really understand. Like,
Now, you would think after sending me through 18 grueling years of Catholic boot camp that I would know anything salient about our religion whatsoever, and I do not. Because that was never the focus of what I was taught. Like, what the religion's about, that never entered into it.
Here's a Reddit.
I don't even remember what they told me.
There's a Reddit thread in Our Catholicism from a year ago that's titled, Is It Possible for a Pope to Not Go to Heaven?
Oh, that's an interesting, more interesting question, maybe.
And I'm just going to skim through this because we don't need to burn the whole podcast on it. But, I mean, actually, we probably could. One of the top responses is, Dante certainly thought so.
If you haven't read Dante's Inferno, read it. It's fabulous.
Someone else wrote back that nobody but our Blessed Mother was or is made immune from the effects of sin.
This is what the Immaculate Conception was all about.
Yeah.
Everybody gets wrong, and it had nothing to do with Jesus per se.
Yeah, right. Yeah, tell me about that.
So the deal is like Mary, the mother of Jesus, was conceived without sin, which is why she was an appropriate vessel for Jesus, who is the Son of God. So everybody thinks that the Immaculate Conception refers to when Mary became pregnant and was with Joseph, but Joseph is not the father of Jesus. And everybody makes jokes about how Joseph is a cuckold and like, oh, that cuck, you know, or whatever. But that's not what the Immaculate Conception is referring to. The Immaculate Conception is referring to when Mary's mother conceived Mary, which happened when Mary's mother was in a lake and was visited by like one of the archangels who I think like raped her or something like that. I'm a little fuzzy on the details. But anyway, because the conception of Mary was a conception, a pregnancy conceived without original sin, and original sin came from Eve in the garden and giving the apple to Adam and trickery and all the things.
Right.
All of us, according to Catholic dogma, are born sinners, and there's already something wrong with us when we get here, even though we haven't done anything wrong.
Right.
Which is like one of the core tenets of the religion that is just like, well, how is this not a cult? You're setting everybody up to be controlled and fail from day one. Like, fuck you. Unless you do whatever the people in charge of the church say. So it's just like, fuck you. So anyway, in order for Jesus to be a person on earth, he had to be born. And in order for him to be born, he had to arrive in a suitable human being. And in order for that human being to be suitable to carry the pregnancy of Jesus and give birth to Jesus, that person had to be without original sin. And that person was Mary. And it was Mary because she was conceived without original sin. And that's where the Immaculate Conception came from.
Huh.
So it's not Mary magically getting pregnant with Jesus without having sex with Joseph. In fact, she probably was having sex with Joseph the entire time. And like, that's not
these
the
very real people that definitely happened just like this. Sorry.
These very real people for which there's absolutely zero historical evidence or record or artifacts or anything at all to suggest that they actually were alive.
Right.
So that's another problem with all of this too. But yeah, so everybody gets that wrong. They just think that it's like that the Immaculate Conception was the fact that that Mary got pregnant with Jesus without having sex with Joseph, and that's not what it's about at all.
Right. Right. Got it. So got it. Okay.
That is one piece of information that I do know about this religion that everybody else gets wrong all the time.
Well, I dig it. So there was also, I did want to, people pointed out that it actually might be harder for the Pope to get into heaven because of the great weight of responsibility he has for everyone's soul.
Oh, shit. My computer cut out. You're probably talking right now.
Oh, I am. You just can't hear me?
Yes. It's like doing the robot voice thing because it's, I think our internet is just slow.
Oh, gotcha.
It's,
okay.
It likes to poop out this time of the day every day. I don't know why that is. You're back now. I see you.
I'm back. Yeah. I mean, I also imagine like you have a shared network, right? With, mm-hmm. So like, it's like people are getting home from work.
Yeah, probably.
So it's handling that load. But anyway, yeah. Someone else wrote, this is all from the same thread, of all the popes, only about one third are canonized saints. Mm-hmm. So that's just something they're saying. Like, so if sainthood was automatic, all of them would be canonized.
Right. I mean, honestly, so for popes, I think the deal is like one of the sacraments that you receive ostensibly as a Catholic before you die is the is your last rites. And that's basically where the priest is called in when you're on your deathbed, and it seems like it's close enough to your actual demise that like you're probably not gonna sin again, like you can't even get out of bed or whatever. So the priest comes in and they give you your last rites, and they like do the whole like confession, absolution. Mm-hmm. You're free from all of your sins now. If you die, you'll just go to heaven because you don't have any sins written on you, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
So if you don't get your last rites, it's a gamble. Who knows?
Right.
And if you were never baptized, by default, you can't go to heaven.
Right. Right. Like I can never go to heaven.
Right. And this is why people who like have their kids in the Catholic faith get them baptized like basically right after they're born, because they're not taking any fucking chances that right. kid might not make it, and they haven't gotten them baptized, which means that your baby's going to hell, because that's what kind of a religion this is.
Yes, God, it's so fucked up.
Right? Like, why would anybody want to believe any of this shit? So, like, is assuming that you get all of the other commandments, or not commandments, whatever
sacraments?
They're called. Fuck it. Sacraments.
Yeah.
And like, if you're, depending on whether you end up being a married person or not, like if you become a nun, for example, or if you get married, either way, those two things are considered equivalent because you become a bride of Christ if you like stay with the church and don't get married. So like the sacrament of marriage is equivalent to like the sacrament of like becoming a whatever, taking your vows to become part of the clergy. And then there's like the last rites and all this other stuff. So if you like keep up with your confession.
Wait, what about men? Do they have to get married as a sacrament?
So yeah, men who get married in the church are also considered to be taking the sacrament of marriage.
Gotcha. And or become a priest.
Yes.
I see. So no singles.
I mean, mostly no, because the whole point of the Catholic faith is like get married and start having kids immediately.
Right.
Because like that's what this is all about.
Right.
Is like making more
get our numbers up. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta get your numbers up. It's like, see how this like segues directly into business cults.
Yes.
It's like now we're talking about fucking quotas and shit.
Right.
Networks of people. I mean, like, how is this not just like fucking Jesus business?
Right.
The business of Jesus. So yeah, like, so if the Pope, who I am assuming got his last rites, somebody must have administered last rites to him.
Right.
Because nobody's going to let the Pope die without getting last rites and then have it be an open question whether or not he was even allowed to go to heaven as a Pope.
Right.
So you would think, but it's not up to the Pope. That's the thing. Somebody other than the Pope would have to administer the last rites, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it for yourself.
Yeah, I have to imagine you can't.
So I guess that question is answered via the administration of last rites.
I'm looking to see.
But like Pope Benedict was a fucking ghoul. You know what I mean? Like he was like Nazi. Yeah. So like if anybody didn't get to go to heaven as a Pope, he'd probably be one of them. That's within our lifetime memory, like our living memory.
Well, Nazis are in now.
That's true.
It's all it like that whole idea of a false equivalency isn't true. Like there's always two sides to a story and they're definitely equally valid.
Yeah. And they're exactly diametrically opposite too.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Right.
100%. Right.
This is important to remember, everybody. It's really that simple.
So we have reached an hour and I do want to shove in a couple of quotes and then maybe do colors of the day.
Oh my God. Tell me about your quotes.
So there is a show called The Office, the American version.
Yes.
And there is a character called Creed.
Yep.
And Creed says, I've been involved in a number of cults, both as a leader and a follower. You have more fun as a follower, but you make more money as a leader. Which
I love that quote.
It's such a good summary of like just the whole fucking concept of all of this, right?
It's
like,
so true.
Yes.
It all depends on what your goals are.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, give me another one.
That's it. That's the whole quote. Okay. That's all I got. Yeah.
I mean, so like Scientology, cult or religion?
I mean, it's for both. Sure. It's yeah. Like it's a cult, but it's big, right?
Yeah.
So now they can be like, from my point of view, it's cults are just baby religions.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I mean, the other thing too, is like the Scientology thing is like a cult that's all about self-improvement also, but self-improvement specifically with the understanding that like other forms of self-help, like psychotherapy, are bullshit.
Right.
Which is like hilarious to me because they're like, psychotherapy is bullshit. There's no such thing as mental illness. Hold on to these cans and tell me about your feelings.
Yes. There, you know, it like, and that's kind of a perfect example of like insulating your membership psychologically, right? You're telling them to be on your guard for people who might want to try and get you to not believe in this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like attacking the sort of the psychology, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like this is where, you know, I'm in a little bit of alignment. Like I've got a, like psychology as a field's real young and it's got a lot of fucking work to do. But also, you know, it's full of people who believe in helping people and like, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's a complex issue, but my point, like,
yeah, I mean, we both go to therapy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Or
yeah.
I do when
no,
my
I and I really appreciate my therapist, and he helps me with a lot of stuff. And we are in alignment about our view of psychology, right? Like it's, you know, it's problematic. There are problematic issues in psychology for sure.
I mean, a lot of them are really similar to the same types of problems you run into with cults and religions. Like, absolutely. Not that they're the same thing, but they're similar. Like the relationships involved are similar,
right? Right.
And I mean, like, the relationships to truth, or what truth is, or how to, like, achieve advancement in some kind of a program, or, like, self-improvement, or, like, who has knowledge and who shares it with who and why, and how much of it gets shared, and the power dynamics, and, like, all this crazy stuff. Like, it's all there. Some people are better or worse at it.
True. Yeah.
Right.
And it's, you know, I mean, now we're kind of getting into the gray area of existence, right? Like, it's, you know, yes. Like the gray area, like, I would argue that the distance in gray area between a cult and a religion is a lot closer than, say, like, a cult in psychology, but, like,
sure.
There's not that much difference, right? Like, there's,
yeah.
And maybe part of this whole problem of cults in the first place is, like, or the thing that we refer to as cults are just sort of these sort of, like, groupthink bubbles that come together, mm-hmm. but then take on a certain characteristic that
yeah.
is, like, self-solidifying, right? To make it more organized.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you and I for sure have a cult of this particular podcast in the sense that we keep fucking coming back to it.
Yes.
But it also, we don't, you know, well, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty manipulative.
I've achieved another milestone and I got to the next level.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Thankfully,
yeah.
Nobody in relation to our podcast has ever tried to show us their penis. Yes.
So far, it's still early days.
Listen, it's my cult and I know you're lying. So,
right?
I don't need to see it. I already know you're lying. Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's so many, like, there's so many weird reasons why people become culty.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many similarities, but there's also, like, these weird flavors that they all take on.
Yeah.
Like the business flavor, or the UFO behind a comet flavor, or, like...
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like there's some people alive right now in our world, in our universe, in this side of the country and your side of the country and all over the country, who are, like, very culty. Like,
yeah.
Like, it kind of feels like our country's been taken over by a political cult. Like, it's cult, yeah. But the flavor of it is a political one.
Right. Yep.
The inward facing circle, the strange, like, jargony stuff. The
sort of, like, self-protection completely. Against any kind of external ideas or, like, yeah. exploration of, like, understanding. And they're also the othering. So yep. basically, like, you know, us versus them. Mm-hmm. That's a big one for sure.
The, like, I think the isolation from society is a huge one, because yep. that's like literally what a digital algorithm is designed to do, is create a bubble for you to live in.
Yeah.
That is different from everybody else's bubble.
Yep.
It's uniquely tailored, completely fabricated universe where they'll just tell you what they want you to hear.
Yep.
And then if you believe them, they win.
Right.
And the, like, the unique enlightenment that the people in charge supposedly possess, that nobody else is smart enough to have access to without being obsequious to those people and mm-hmm. asking for the information to be shared. And the, like, yeah, you, like you said, the us versus them, the absolute authority thing. I mean, it's all just describing an authoritarian dictatorship, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what cults are.
Yeah.
They're just usually on a much smaller scale than half the country.
Yeah. Fucking crazy.
Yeah. What are our colors of the day today?
Come
join our dual color cult.
Do you want to, why don't you call them and see what the research department is providing?
Okay. Well, I have to share that earlier today they sent me some.
Oh, they did.
And I think it might be my favorite color combination that we've ever had on this show.
Okay. I'm down. Let's do it.
Okay. So the color of the day, number one, is called pro-choice emptiness, which is
good. Yes.
So perfect.
Yeah.
After working for 25 years in the choice advocacy community,
yes,
I'm so jaded about the entire thing. I can't I'm even sure. put it into words. So the RGB numbers for this, or the RGB values
yes.
of this color are 179.238.62. And the hexadecimal number, which you can like type this into your browser and it will show you this color.
Yes.
Hashtag boy B, letter B, number three, letter E, letter E, number three, letter E. B3EE3E.
Yes. So if you put that, if you put hashtag B3EE3E, it will show you this exact color.
And it's like the color of Slimer from the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. It's like this like neon almost green.
Yes. It's like wow, crazy green.
Yeah.
Like crazy slime green.
Yeah. Yep.
And its counterpart is nephritic insurrectionist, which is hilarious because like nephritis is when you have like kidney
yes.
inflammation. Yes. Nephritic insurrectionist is brilliant. RGB value 76, 17, 193, and the hexadecimal is hashtag 4C as in cat 11C1. The number four, the letter C. The number one, the number one, the letter C, the number one. I kind of like that they both have similar hexadecimal patterns.
They do. Yes. Yep.
And this one is like this intense kind of like, it's not plummy quite, but it's a redder purple than blue. There's more red in it than there is blue, right?
Yes. Yep.
Or there, no, there's
no, more there's blue. More, there's more
there's
blue.
There's more blue than red, but it's yeah. like a warm purple to me.
It does come across as a warm purple to me. Yeah. I would agree yeah. with that.
It's good. So the two of them together is like one of my favorite color combinations of all time.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. There, it's really good. Also interesting side note. I Googled nephritic insurrectionist, just curious. Yes. And the AI, the Google AI search lab's response is the phrase nephritic insurrectionist is not a recognized medical term or political label, just so you know.
Well, have we got a deal for you?
I also love the idea of like, this is like one of those like alternative superhero names.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like B string, like pro level wrestling or whatever, like a, or yep. like, what's the like luchadors.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so good. I'm so glad that the team is back to work and we have colors of the day again.
Yes, me too.
I was sad without them. I feel lost and adrift when I don't have the anchor of color in my life.
Agreed. Yeah, I also feel like our podcast was really drifting off topic there for a while, but now we've really reined it in and we're really design focused.
Gotta get back to basics here.
Yeah. So I was going to say also, if you listen all the way through, you're probably like, man, when they started, they were going to talk about designing a cult and they never got there. I agree with you. And I think maybe next time we can, you know, we had a little overview of like what kind of makes a cult a little bit, talked about a few yep. different cults. Maybe next time we can get down to the nitty gritty of like what, you know, what's going to really thing. Like, yeah, like bring it together. Maybe we'll start with some basics and then.
Right. And you have a unique opportunity because if you listen to our next episode, you can get in on the ground level.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you can get in on the ground level. You could right. start a cult chapter yourself.
Yeah.
A we local could set chapter. A
franchise.
We could franchise the fuck out of this cult.
We're going to be in every corner of the United States within a year. You just watch.
That's right. You just watch.
Yep. Or else.
Or else.
Don't think about it too hard either.
Right?
Just do what I say.
I'm trying to see how many episodes of our podcast we have because I was just kind of thinking about.
You think about the cake we're going to make for ourselves when we hit 200 or something or 300?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're over 200 now, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. No, we're over.
Speaking of cults, if you've never played the game The Cult of the Lamb, it's really great.
Are we not on Spotify anymore?
Has super catchy music. And
oh, it's really great. Yeah, I love that game. The little cult
members are like, I have a secret desire to eat poop.
It's so funny. Yes.
Which I find just totally endearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. I'm like, it's a cult and there's poop eating. This is really delightful. Funny. These adorable little cartoons.
Oh, yeah, we are. Okay. Just doesn't show up very easily. Let's see.
What's our magic number? Tell me.
It doesn't say.
Oh, this is terrible. We're going to have to count them one by one.
Yeah, I don't know how to.
Step number one, if you want to be in our cult, you have to count up how many episodes we have and tell us so that we don't have to do it. I mean, we already know, but we're testing you.
Yes, like the U.S. tax system. Like.
Right, the U.S. tax system is a cult. An inward-facing mysterious circle.
Uh-huh. Okay, so 228 plus 10, so maybe 238, 240.
Okay.
That's a lot. We've done a lot.
Yep.
Is this it? Should we just call it quits or like what's the deal?
Hell no.
Hell no.
We're going to do this forever.
Oh, we used to have a review. I wonder if it got too old. Someone had reviewed us on, if you're listening to this and you feel like it, you could give us a review on iTunes. Actually, don't. I don't care.
Don't.
I don't know why I asked that. I guess I just liked that there was that one review that person had.
Yeah, they loved us. They were like, this is incredible.
And it was just kind of cool because they were just talking about like whatever episode it was and they really liked it.
Yeah, it was about liminal spaces.
Yeah, that's right. It was about liminal spaces. Yep. Oh, well, whatever. Don't care.
It's fine. Well, thanks for listening. And next time we'll build a cult.
It'll be great.
Now that we know everything we need to know.
Yes. Yeah.
I've got all the indoctrination shit down.
Maybe we could come up with like a little tabletop role-playing game.
Ooh.
So I've seen these. I love the episodes where like we do the full ending and then we just like launch into another podcast like before we hang up. So here's the idea I had, which is, so there are like these tabletop role playing games that people like print out on like one page, like the rules are pretty straightforward, but we could like take all of the information we learn about what makes a cult and then we could create like a table you roll dice on to find out about the cult you created. And then in the game, it would be like every player creates their own cult.
I love this.
And you like roll dice and you like sort of interact with the other players. I think this would be fun.
I think we're doing it.
I think we are doing it. Yeah, maybe we'll have to publish that between burbs. We also need to work on burbs, but yeah.
We do, yeah.
Okay.
Burbs is our next book.
Okay. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.